Jake is passing out a resolution on morality and voting. And I just want to share that with you this morning. And then we'll look at Jeremiah 18 in the scriptures. If you want to go ahead and turn there, Jeremiah 18, we'll look at that in a few moments. But of course, this week being a election week, we're all thinking about that. And it's a very pivotal time in our country. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. There's all kinds of talk about things that may happen. But before we get to Jeremiah 18, just wanted to share a little bit of this resolution. This is from the American Council of Christian Churches. And they, I don't think they had their conference in person because of COVID, but just recently here, October 27th, they put this out and just goes over some biblical principles of government in the first paragraph and how God set that up back in Genesis, and then some of the duties of government there in that second paragraph. Those are important scriptural principles there. Praise those who obey just laws, execute wrath on those that do evil, and then just some basic things in accordance with the Ten Commandments. They should institute laws that honor God-ordained authorities in their respective spheres, protect innocent human life, uphold biblical marriage and gender roles, respect private property, and esteem truth-telling. These governments also ought to respect their citizens' free and voluntary worship of God, acts of charity, and freedom of conscience in matters of business and public life. And then that third paragraph, I'll just read that third paragraph there on that front side. In the United States of America, each law-abiding citizen has the ability to elect federal, state, and local officials to rule the land. Voters must become acquainted with political parties and prospective candidates if they want to ensure that justice is properly administered. An examination of the Bible and the current political landscape indicates that no one will administer justice perfectly if elected. I think that's an important thing to remember. We're not electing a perfect candidate. But some candidates and parties will seek to undermine scriptural standards more than others. If elected, many on the political left intend to implement policies that are far worse than what is proposed by those on the right. These would attack marriage, gender roles, families, private property, innocent human life, particularly in the womb, capital punishment, national security, honorable reputations, equal tax rates, and religious liberty. Therefore, the American Council of Christian Churches at its 79th annual business meeting, October 27th, resolves to warn Christians of those who misrepresent Scripture, political candidates, and or party platforms in order to justify poor electoral decisions. We pray that God would turn their counsel into foolishness. We furthermore exhort everyone to submit to every just ordinance of man. We pray for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We likewise remind all civil governments, be wise therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. So we don't know what's going to happen here this week. Will we even know who wins this week? I don't know. Will violence erupt? You know, some people are saying that there are plans being made right now to begin attacks in the cities, big and small, if a certain person wins. And, you know, we don't like to see that, but we don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. What about these policies that look so foreboding, you know, on the left when you actually look into it and you think, boy, what would happen if, you know, it goes to the left? And, you know, it doesn't look like it would be very good for Christians. Bible-believing Christians. So as we think about that, I want to turn here to Jeremiah 18 and think about Jeremiah for a moment. You know, Jeremiah ministered at a time in Israel that was also a very pivotal time for his country. He ministered at the end of the southern kingdom, just before the Babylonian captivity in 586 BC, and after that, during that. And if you read through Jeremiah, you see the really rough time politically that he ministered in. And the really hard messages that God had him deliver to his people. They were messages that probably didn't go over too well. They didn't go over well. Yet God had him give these. And so as we think about our country and our attitude towards our country in this election here, I want us to just look here at Jeremiah 18, at the lesson God taught Jeremiah here at the Potter's house. So look with me here at Jeremiah 18, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will remember of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. I will repent of the good, rather, wherewith I said I would benefit them." So we have a picture here that's given to Jeremiah. He's down at the potter's house. And maybe you've seen something similar, a potter working with that clay on some kind of wheel. They're probably, they have a motor now today, probably on those, or they may have been powered with a foot pedal, something like that. But you have that picture. Maybe anybody here ever done the ceramics? Kind of a thing like that? Nobody, I guess. All right. Maybe you haven't seen it. I don't know. They have that clay, and the person working with that is fashioning and shaping that vessel. And that's the picture that God gives to Jeremiah concerning Israel. And of course, we're not Israel. Our country's not Israel. But it's just a reminder of God's sovereignty. And the picture here is that God is the potter. And in Jeremiah's case, Israel was the clay. And Israel was in God's hands like clay. And I think we could make the same application to our own lives and to our country as well. We look at all the scriptures that God is sovereign. That means that the nations, our nation, is in His hand, and He is shaping it, and He is molding it, just as He's doing with our own lives. But we have this picture of God's sovereignty here. I think there's no more important doctrine during these times than the sovereignty of God, that we are truly in His hands. And of course, you know, we look at the human side, and we're thinking about the decision that the people make here this week and all of the potential fraud and violence that could go along with that as a result of decisions that people make. But there's also the divine side, and the scriptures tell us about that. And that is just that our nation really is in God's hand. And then we have also a picture here of the possibility of remaking. Told here that the vessel was marred in the hand of the potter. And so as he turned that clay on that wheel, he probably pressed it down and then remade it into something else. There was a possibility to remake it. Maybe he was making a plate or something, and he saw that it was marred, and so he pushed it down and made a cup instead. He remade it into something else. And we have a picture of the possibility here of remaking. And for Israel, it all depended on their repentance. But as you see here with this message that God gave Jeremiah, God was still holding that possibility open for Israel. Yes, there was a mar, there was something not quite right, but there was that possibility that if they repented, God could remake them and make them into something better. It could be corrected. They could be remolded. And there was still time for repentance and return to God. It's interesting that at Jeremiah's time that God would allow that to be open to them. If you go back and study the history of things that were going on in Jeremiah's time and the idolatry and the turning against God, the apostasy, and yet God still gives them this possibility here of remaking. Things were very bad, but God still holds it out to them, says, if you repent, I can remake you. I can turn you into something better. And I think perhaps that may be true for our country. God is still sovereign, and this election is very important. But at the same time, it's not actually the most important thing. The most important thing would be, as Jeremiah is speaking to these people, offering to them that possibility of repentance, and how much more important that would be for our country to repent, to turn away from the evil, and to be remade. It's much more important than who gets elected. So much more important whether anyone actually repents of their sin in our country. And so that's a picture of hope, really. But then there's another picture. If you flip over here to chapter 19, well, maybe we should look at the response to that message. It wasn't very good. Jeremiah 18:11. Now therefore, go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices. We will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen, who hath heard such things? The virgin of Israel hath done very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Because my people hath forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and have caused them to stumble in their ways from ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate, and a perpetual hissing. Every one that passeth thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. Then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor word from the prophet. Come, let us smite him with the tongue. Let us not give heed to any of his words. So the response to his message was not good. They rejected it altogether. And so the Lord gives Jeremiah another picture from the potter's house in chapter 19, which is a little bit different. Look at chapter 19, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle, and take of the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priests, and go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate. Proclaim there the words I shall tell thee. And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle, because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. And so he's getting this potter's vessel. It's already been made. Maybe that same store buys this potter's vessel. It's already been probably baked in the furnace. It's hardened. And then God tells Jeremiah to take that. And verse 10, then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people in this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet, till there be no place to bury. This will I do unto this place, saith the Lord, and to the inhabitants thereof, even make the city as Tophet. And so you have this other picture here, which is a picture of judgment, really. God tells him to break this jar. And this is a different picture than what Jeremiah was taught there in the potter's house. That was a picture of possibility of remaking. God had a possibility of reshaping them. If they'll repent, God will make them into something else, make them into something better. But there was a point where things were going to go towards judgment, and that's what was happening here, where Jeremiah shows them what was going to happen. And really, in the very place where all of the sin was being committed, this place where they burned their sons in worship to Baal, Jeremiah showed them this picture that God was going to break them, and it would not be remade in the same way. No possibility to return from that. And so, as we think of our own country, wonder what stage we're in. I don't know what stage we're in. But I know God is a gracious God. And even to Israel, he would have been gracious to them if they would have repented. But at the same time, we may be at the point where God smashes that jar in judgment. What do we do then? What do we do then? Well, later in Jeremiah, we see the prophet counseling God's people in the midst of the judgment and the things that God has to say to a people that's going through judgment. And he basically tells them to accept it. Accept it as the judgment of God. Don't go down to Egypt. Don't go try to flee and seek help from Egypt. And he has Jeremiah buy a field right as the Babylonians are coming to take the city captive. And that was a message of hope, actually, that God would eventually restore the land. So we need to pray for our country this morning. And I know you all know that. But God is sovereign. We're in His hands. It's not all up to the human choice, although we're going to make a choice. Our country is. But God is behind it. And we can trust in the results, whatever happens. We can trust that God is in control. All right, well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for fact that You are in control, and we do lift up our country to You. We know that we don't deserve to be preserved and remade. We know there's many problems. This vessel is marred, and we pray that people would humble themselves and recognize the ways in which we've turned against You, and we pray, Lord, You'd have mercy upon our nation. We pray for this election that's coming up. We pray that the ones would be elected that would carry out government according to your principles. We would desire that. And Lord, we pray that whatever happens, we'd recognize that you are in control. Pray you give us wisdom to know how to live, to know how to serve you in the days that would be ahead. And we thank you for your word and the ways that you used your prophet Jeremiah at this pivotal time in Israel's history. We pray that we'd be able to learn from that. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, we're going to have a prayer time here, praises and prayer requests. So I trust that you picked up a prayer sheet. If not, there is one on either side of the auditorium here on the tables. But the most recent one is October the 26th. That's from this week. And so I trust that you can take a look at that if you haven't already. And so we obviously want to just lift up our country this morning in light of the election. And so we want to pray. Hopefully all of us will be praying this morning and throughout the week. But would there be any praises or prayer requests that you would have this morning you'd like to share? Yes, Shirley.
Unspoken.
Okay. Unspoken for Shirley. Any others? Any other unspokens this morning? Okay.
No unspoken, but okay. My sister-in-law, Wanda Pierce, her legs have been hurting really bad. Sometimes she has trouble walking. Well, they did a thumb test on her to see if she had cancer, and she don't.
Okay.
And she's full of arthritis, but no cancer.
Okay, Sue's, that's a praise. Sue's sister-in-law, Wanda Pierce. They did a bone scan on her, no cancer in the bones, just arthritis. So that's a praise, she doesn't have cancer.
Yes.
All right, anybody else? We did have a good time on Friday night here with our roundup night, and I think we had 27, 26 or so. 32, sorry. All right, so around 30, and we had a good time. All right, anybody else? Other praises, prayer requests? Yes.
Please keep praying for Kelly Burgess, my teacher and principal from high school, junior high. He's not doing well with cancer. They called his son to come home. He's in the military, special operations for him, but he's in Jordan, so he's been called to come home. So.
All right. Mr. Kelly Burgess was a former teacher and principal Jenny had in Kansas. He's very sick with cancer, and so just pray for him and his family. Anybody else? Other prayer requests or praises? Anybody else? Yes, Mrs. Gossman.
The snow's out west. Was an answer to prayer. It did put a damper on the fires. It has not eliminated them, but it slowed it down.
Right. The fire's going on out west. The Gossmans were just out there, and there has been some snow, but maybe they need some more. So praise and a prayer request there for those dealing with the wildfires out west. Okay, anybody else? Yes, Rhonda.
Dad either has sinus issues or a cold going on, so pray that it's not anything.
Okay, pray for Rhonda's dad, Mr. Renard, with his, he's got a cold, sinus issues this week, so just pray for him as he goes through that. Okay. Anyone else this morning? And we were praying for Scott. Any update on the...
Not yet.
There was a auction for the business there.
Yeah, it'll be a while.
It'll be a while before you know. Okay. All right. Anybody else? All right. Well, just take a look at the sheet there. There's many requests that we have here. So just try to pray through those. Mr. Lewis is going to be having a knee replacement surgery next month.
Yeah. I've got some tests before that as well, so you can pray for that. Got a couple here in the room.
Okay.
Make sure I wake up on her. Okay. I think it's December 16th.
Okay, so Steve is going to be planning a knee replacement. He's got a number of tests to be sure that he is surgery ready this month, so pray for that. And also Frida is going to be having a knee replacement surgery in January. That's her second one, I believe. And just continue to pray for our community as we passed out some tracts here, made visits, and just pray for the Lord's working. And so anything else? Yes. All right. Well, let's go ahead and divide up. And we'll divide up with men and women here, ladies in the room.